It is a great gift to be with you all this morning. My name is Sarah. I'm one of the interns here at City Well. And we're going to begin by reading our scripture passage, and it's a bit long, so hang tight. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine themselves then, so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on themselves. And that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another." Let's pray. Merciful God, I thank you for bringing us here together today in the unity of your Spirit. I pray that you would continue to bless this service and the words of my mouth. We thank you and we praise you in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. All right, so where I come from, communion can be a bit of a scary thing. For those of you who don't know, I am Methodist been Methodist for about 3 weeks now. it's very exciting. I'm happy to be here. But I'm originally come from an evangelical background. And so when I was growing up in church, my dad was a pastor. And so I would sit with my mom, and after I grew out of children's church, I had to sit with her, and I remember the first Sunday that we took communion that I was in church with my mother. And as the plate containing the little tiny wafers came by, it never really occurred to me to not take a piece. I was a Christian after all, and as a precocious 8-year-old, I was particularly interested in doing the things all the grown-ups were doing. And so my mother, she kind of hesitated after she saw what I had done, and she leaned over and she was like, Do you know what this means?" And her voice jolted me from my own contemplation of the cross. And I don't remember what she told me communion meant. I have no idea what she said I was supposed to do, what it was supposed to represent. I have no idea. But I do remember feeling a little bit sheepish, like I'd done something wrong by taking communion as a kid. My mother is the most gracious person I know. She is the expression of God in my life. But the evangelical church I grew up in had some ideas about the Eucharist that probably would make a mother start if she saw her young, unbaptized daughter just happily enjoying a mid-service snack. My church believed that if you were not a professing Christian, that is, if you had not accepted Jesus into your heart, then you were not allowed to partake in the elements of the Lord's table. The reasoning for this is biblical. It comes from 1 Corinthians, from the passage I just read, where Paul writes, "Each individual should test himself or herself, and eat from the bread and drink from the cup in that way. Those who eat and drink without correctly understanding the body are eating and drinking their own judgment." And if one reads this literally and out of context, then yeah, my poor mother should have been very worried about whether or not I knew what communion meant. And for as much as I cherish my evangelical upbringing, and I do, I'm not sure I agree with their interpretations of Paul's epistles as literal instructions for the modern church. Paul concludes his message on the Lord's table by saying, "For these reasons, my brothers and sisters, when you get together to eat, wait for each other." And as usual, Paul seems to be addressing an ethical, relational issue. His parishioners are being selfish and greedy. They're not thinking about one another. They're unloving and unwilling to commune with those who are different than themselves. And Paul does not appear to be addressing a theological problem, such as children taking communion before they're confirmed, or they understand what it means, or they're baptized. He does not give the prerequisite of a sinner's prayer as necessary before coming to the table. Instead, he simply says, wait for each other. I like the way the NIV translates it. It says this, so then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. It is when we are together that we are most present with God. And my question for you and for myself this morning is, what does it mean to be together? If this is how Paul asks us to come to the table of the Lord, how do we live into community as one body? It is my understanding that Christ, in the act of giving his body for ours, by being present with us at this table, can give us some answers. First, God is with us in our broken bodies by allowing his body to be broken at this table. In the act of communion, Jesus allows his body to be broken again and again so that we may be whole. Our bodies and our minds fail us often. We suffer from physical disabilities, mental illnesses, systematic injustice, and institutions designed to separate us from one another. There is not one of us in this room who is self-sufficient or truly independent from one another, and we cannot exist on our own. And yet, in spite of our weaknesses, Jesus allows his own body to be broken in solidarity with ours. Christians have been taking communion since Jesus ascended into heaven, and we will take it until he returns or we go to meet him. And in our time of waiting to be resurrected, in this time of groaning and of bondage and of separation, Jesus remains with us at this table. He will be in solidarity with us when we receive our resurrected bodies, and he's always also present with us in our broken bodies, as his body is continually broken with ours in the process of communion. And as Jesus is fully present with us at this table, he's demonstrating how we can be fully present with others in our own brokenness and in theirs. Secondly, God is with us when we fail, as he was with those who failed him. A few months ago, I had moved out of my apartment and I was living on a couch before I was going to my summer field education placement. And I woke up on a Sunday morning and I was trying to decide whether or not I was gonna go to church. And it was really hot outside. It was the beginning of the summer. I'm from Minnesota, so stepping outside in June in Carolina is like the worst. And I don't have a car, so I had to walk a mile there and a mile back, and I was like, I just don't want to do it. I barely have enough time to get ready. And as I was staring at the ceiling, trying to decide whether or not to get up, I remembered a conversation I had had with a friend of mine. She was a young teenager from when I was a youth group leader back home in Minnesota, and she had called me the night before, and she was really concerned that she wasn't a good Christian because she hadn't read her Bible very much that week. And I remember thinking, well... Shoot, I haven't read my Bible apart from my exegesis classes in a while. I understood what she felt. I tried to assure her that there was grace for both of us and prayed that she wouldn't fall asleep in anxiety over the whole thing. But was there grace for us? Would we come in shame to the table of the Lord, or would we come together, each of us carrying one another's burdens in prayer to the table, both of us in need of grace? And as I lay there trying to stay awake, I remembered the one place I knew there would be grace for me, and it was at this table. So here's the thing about the open table. Anyone can partake of the Lord's grace. It doesn't matter if you believe the right things. It doesn't matter if you've professed a specific creed. You come together, and you come to receive. And when Jesus ate the Last Supper with his disciples, he did not refuse to eat with Peter, who denied him, with Judas, who betrayed him, or Thomas, who doubted his power. He did not refuse to be present with those who had not repented or those who did not believe in his divinity. He was simply present with them. Can we call on the Holy Spirit to allow us to be present with one another without restricting people we don't agree with, without restricting those who have denied or betrayed us? Can we come with forgiveness as Christ forgave us? At the open table, Christ is present with us regardless. He does not turn away any who want to commune with him. And as I remembered that, I jumped out of the couch, got dressed, and walked here. I walked in those doors, dripping with sweat. I was very ashamed, went over there, sat by myself, but I didn't feel alone. When the time came for communion, there was no hesitation. I nearly bolted to that table. And I remember specifically that on this specific day, I don't know who it was, but there was a child serving communion. And it meant everything to me. I was confident that at the table, surrounded by those who were doubting, in denial, in need of grace, too young to understand that I was also surrounded by grace. For when we are together, we are with God. Finally, when we come together, we come in brokenness because Christ is with us in our brokenness. And we can come in our failures because Christ is with us in our failures, but we cannot come alone. This is the theological point of Paul's instructions for the Corinthian church. Be together when you remember Christ. By allowing himself to be broken at this table, Jesus demonstrates that we can allow ourselves to be broken with each other as an act of love. He also demonstrates that the brokenness of others is not something to be afraid of, but something holy. It is often in our brokenness that we most clearly see the grace of God reaching down to meet us, and usually through other people. I challenge you to be humble in your brokenness, to be generous in your grace for others, remembering that Jesus is familiar with all of our broken bits, and there is nothing to fear. And because Jesus is with us, even when we fail him, I challenge us to be with those that fail us. And sometimes we fail ourselves. And Jesus does not turn us away. The book of Hebrews puts it this way: therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith. This blood has already made a place for us at the table. God has loved you long before you stopped loving yourself, and when you come to this table, there's more than enough grace for you. And today, I challenge you, even if it's just for a moment, to come to this table with full assurance in that grace. And finally, I ask you to challenge your understanding of what it means to come together. Perhaps you enjoy the acceptance and unity of this very special place. It is a really special place to be here at CityWell. But while going to church with people who are different than you is good, coming together as one unified body, as a people who have understood the pain and difficulty of learning to love one another, is better. This isn't a message from some baby pastor who has all the answers. This is, as Pastor Crystal says, what the Holy Spirit has preached to me, and so now I'm preaching to you. I am learning as a covenant partner, as a sister, what it means to interrogate where I sit, who I speak to, how I use my words and my actions to be a part of one unified body. For when we are together, we truly are with God. And with that, I invite you to the table of God, the table of grace. I invite you to come in need, in doubt, in repentance, and with joy. Come and feast on the abundance of the love for which God is continually broken, that you may be whole. The grace poured out for you and for many. Amen.